Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Monday, the 9th of March, as I check my calendar quickly. If I only had an iWatch. We'll get to that in a moment.
Soon.
Yes, soon. We'll get to that in a moment. Good morning, welcome, and very nice to have you all aboard for this Monday morning. Let me introduce our panelists to you, and then we'll get into the actual meat and potatoes of our discussion this morning. For those of you who don't believe in eating meat, then it'll just be potato and potato.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just, I know our listenership. Anyway, here we go. WAMC's Alan Chartek is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. And Joe, be very, very careful when you wash your eye.
Why?
You said, if only I had an eye wash.
No. Eye watch.
I got it.
Okay.
Infantile attempt.
Well, it was
at least
infantile,
you admitted it.
Yes.
Thank you for being so honest, Mr. Chartok.
Couldn't stop myself.
All right. So, well, now the pressure's on for Libby to make a...
infantile
funny,
joke?
Yeah,
that's not my speed.
Okay.
You know?
Political consultant Libby Post is here. Thank you very much. And Toast of the Town, SUNY Albany professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
I was at an amazing event yesterday at SAGE for International Women's Day. It's the first of what I hope will become an annual event. And the speakers were just incredible, starting with the mayor of Albany.
Well, we heard that you were the star, didn't we, Libby?
Yes, we did.
We were the keynote speaker.
All over Facebook. Yeah. All over Facebook, just like all over Albany.
Okay, so I was rabble-rousing, and they allowed me to, like, talk at will for a while. So, yeah, I was in my element for a while.
Oh, wow. Don't we do that here?
Yeah, actually.
Is that what we let you do from 9 to 10 every morning?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
There is a...
Anyway, there were some wonderful events throughout the region.
Throughout the region.
And throughout the entire world, of course. But yes. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and there were some just incredible events. And as you say, the Facebook feed was just filled with...
And I think the
really amazing things going on.
The confluence of SOMA and International Women's Day is terrific.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
a great
really speaks to
weekend to human rights.
Yes, we still have a very long road to go.
The message at both of them was the same. Yeah. Oh, we've made remarkable progress. Who would ever thought? But wow,
right.
There's still a lot to do.
Yep.
Both.
Yes.
With that said, we remind you that you can join us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and be with us and tell us what's on your mind about the issues that we discuss. We'd love to hear from you. And that's roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also do so by going to our webpage, wamc.org/roundtable, and look for the link for today's panel post 3915. All right, we begin with stories, and because it was out for a couple days last week, if we're repeating anything or if we're going over old ground, let me know. But I haven't heard from anybody, so I assume we're okay. I try to look at stuff that mostly happened over the weekend, but. We look at the deal with Iran, and the President Obama said that he and other world leaders have offered Iran an extraordinary, reasonable deal that will test whether the leadership of the Islamic nation is serious about at last resolving the dispute over its nuclear program. Even as negotiators appear close to an agreement, Mr. Obama highlighted the challenge of what comes next, ensuring that any pact forged in Geneva can pass muster in Tehran.
Hmm. And in Washington.
And in Washington. And also in some reports that I saw, although not in this Times report, said that this may lead us to a point where we will have to back out.
Yeah.
It's just like the League of Nations. It's just, you know, we work to try to get something good on the table. You bring it home and the obstructionists just won't let it happen for their own petty politics. And, you know, this is diplomacy in action. This is what we want. And yet there are people who refuse to let the people who know what they're doing, the diplomats, the folks in the Foreign Service, the folks who have been doing this for so long, do their jobs and come up with a resolution that is good for everybody.
Look, the big objection to this is that after 10 years, and Mario Cuomo used to say, in 10 years, a new pope could be born.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years, they could back out of it, which is true. They could. On the other hand,
after 10 years, you can back out of a marriage. I mean, come on.
Well, but after 10 years, the Israelis still have an atom bomb. this country still has an atom bomb. You know, I mean, if they take that step, I truly believe it would be over for them. And I think by that time, that
over
the
for
people,
whom?
I think by that time, the Iranians, I think that by that time, the Iranian people are not going to want to go back to a time of want and despair and not being able to do business internationally. And also that Ayatollah, he's old.
Well, I thought I had read that he had died, and I guess he hadn't, but there was some stuff going
around.
Well,
the first
around.
One died.
Well, no, like this one.
Really?
The one that's in.
And they dropped his body. I remember that when they had the funeral. Remember that he fell off the thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Terrible.
Okay, well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, except I don't think it's petty politics. I think this actually is a case of really deeply felt disagreement. And Republicans and Israelis, a lot of Israelis, Netanyahu represented them, do not feel that any deal should be made with Iran. That's nothing petty about that. It's
okay, so what's the alternative?
They want, what they see as the alternative is sanctions, increased sanctions, monitoring of them, and prevention of them ever having the ability to build. It has not worked. Let me just say, it has not worked.
What
Netanyahu wanted that, and Bush put that into play, and the capability of Iran in the years since has exploded. They are far closer. They're months away from having a nuclear weapon. So there's no way to stop it.
Well, wait a second. On that months away, as you know, Netanyahu has been saying that for 20 years.
This is true.
This is from American stuff.
It turns out it was a big fat lie. So,
like Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction.
So all I can say to you, Rosemary, is you got to do what you got to do. I think you're better off if you make a deal and hold their feet to the fire than if you make no deal. Netanyahu's view of the Palestinians and the view of the others is make no deal ever.
That is true that the countries that have gotten the bomb, because non-proliferation has never worked since World War II. It has not worked. But the countries that have joined the nuclear club, with I think the exception of North Korea, who we don't talk to, have become part of this club that protects and watches. And so far, we don't have use of the nuclear weapon, even though the technology has spread. So there is an argument to be made for, as you say, Libby, handling this diplomatically.
And the other thing, you said this. The thing is that these people, Iran, they lived through Ahmadinejad. They lived through economic chaos. They don't want it anymore. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen, because if that happens, ISIS is coming right there. I mean, we have to have a long-term view here. You know, the Islamic State has been able to put a foothold in the countries that are economically distressed.
There are short-term and long-term solutions. Netanyahu this week announced, and he's running for office, I understand that, but he announced that his own proposal, by the way, not just the West, his idea of a Palestinian homeland right next to Israel is off the table now, because no one can reassure him enough or his people.
Well, that's
that
been
if
clear
they,
from the beginning.
Well, I think it
not
has
his
been,
people.
But now he's saying it officially. Yeah. No, there will be no Palestinian homeland.
But let's be clear.
Oh, that's smart.
His people are a small cadre of people with an incredible amount of power. There were over 100,000 people in Tel Aviv last week, protesting against him and his policies. So he does not speak for a unified
I agree. I agree. I think his policies overall are designed to continued like incredible chaos in the Middle East.
Well, you know, it's very difficult because if in fact Netanyahu makes peace with the Palestinians, or if the Israelis do, there will always be, as you say, a good word, cadre of Palestinians in this case, who know that the only way they can make a living is to be hellraisers and to be bad people, and to make sure that they grab a couple of Israelis and kill them or do this or do that, and that is where the dilemma is. I mean, they're not going to. Those people, that part of that group, won't stop.
Well, you have that here. You have that in any country, anywhere. You have that group of people who are hell-bent on rabble-rousing and making life difficult for who's ever in power. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad.
We make the assumption that the populace can hold their leadership responsible, and we have found out time and again that they cannot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back. We'll continue and talk about this a little bit. Yes?
One moment. I just want to say that we're getting a lot of complaints.
That's just what I was going to ask.
Yes, and they are from WAMK, which is a huge station in the Mid-Hudson Valley, and from WAMQ, which is in Great Barrington. I heard it at 2:30 this morning as I was leaving the house. I have put my... 2 cents into the crack engineering department.
They're scrambling. I can see them.
Yes, and they're working on it now. But I have to say, this is unacceptable. We have to get moving.
Yeah. So we've been getting some letters. So there are some problems, but they are being addressed. So we will keep you informed. But I'm sure the best way to know that they're fixed is when you can hear us.
Right. So keep listening. What's happening is we keep dropping out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's dropped out. It's on, much like we've done in this program a few times.
Well, we have that at home, and we're just in Menance. So.
All right. Well, let's we'll talk about our technical issues, and then we'll.
Now you tell me.
What?
No, I just.
Oh, you heard. Me. Yeah, okay. We'll be back. I think there are two. But anyway, we'll be back right after the short break.
Support comes from Tierra Farm Retail Stores, Madison Avenue, Albany, and Route 203, Volusia, New York. Organic nuts, dried fruit, fair trade coffee, chocolate, granola, nut butters, and gift baskets, tierrafarm.com. The Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local Native American and fairly traded work, thebluemarble.biz. And the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock Orthodontic, Cosmetic, and General Dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986, woodstockdentist.com.
When we come back, and just before we wrap up, we take a couple letters on this issue of Iran. I am curious on the news shows. I got to watch all of the news shows yesterday, which I always makes a good Sunday, and I say that like half ironic and half seriously. But it is the word that I kept hearing over and over and over again was deal, good deal, bad deal, good deal, bad deal, good deal, bad deal. We don't know enough to label that, do we?
Well, we only know what's on the table.
Right.
We know what each side has asked for. And
but as the president said, there's a lot of gaps within that deal.
And yeah, there's a lot of gaps between the two, what the United States wanted, what Iran wants, end of all sanctions and leave us alone on weapons, and the U.S. wants about the opposite. So, yeah, that's a big gap to talk about.
So, I mean, there's not really like a workable deal.
So Julius wants to know, so Rosemary, what's the alternative if sanctions aren't working? Bombing the nuclear facilities?
I think the
sanctions are working. I think that's why Iran is at the table right now. And no, I do not believe in bombing. If it's nuclear bombing, of course I don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. Netanyahu has different ideas, though. I think that's another reason Iran is at the table, the sanctions by the U.S. and threats by Israel.
I was interested in hearing when the president spoke yesterday on Face the Nation, I believe, that he was talking about the timetable and saying, you know, over the next month. And I was surprised that it was that long. And I guess we have no immediate timetable for
They've been talking for a year.
Right.
And there's lots of pressure for something to come out. So he has said previously, but again under pressure, that if we've talked for a year and we can't come up with something, maybe it isn't going to happen. How long did the Cuba talks take? About the same. So diplomacy is not fast. We keep forgetting that as a people. We Americans want action right away, do something now. Diplomacy is really slow and plodding.
Well, also there's an evolution that occurs. So the Castro brothers, who many people think of as really despotic dictators, got old, you know, and things began to loosen up. And, other countries were beginning to build hotels in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this outside stuff plays a huge role in that. And I'm not so sure Rosemary, that that's happening yet in Iran?
You mean on the American side? There's no reason for us to feel soft towards
I just think there's an evolution, a liberalization that goes on in places like Cuba right now that are not, that don't exist in Iran right now. That it'll come, but it's not here right now.
Well, you know, I've heard you yourself say there's a disconnect between the populace in Iran, which is very young and much more liberal than the old men who are running
educated.
The government.
Yeah.
And they are educated. Yeah, these are very smart people.
And the kids were on their side
exactly.
when the revolution happened. And that revolution, as many people keep pointing out in their mail and letters, was somewhat our fault.
Cuba was our fault, as Iran is our fault, I mean, it's good that Americans are looking up to our role in this. We are not the kind, sweet, wonderful, democratic nation that we believe ourselves to be in our national myth.
When I was at UB, at the University of Buffalo, there were kids in school with me from Iran. And they were all excited about the revolution because the Shah sure. was going to go, and they were socialists, and they thought they were going to be able to go home again. And then we get what we got, which is not what people expected, you know. Mm-hmm. And that happens over and over and over again.
Oh, that's the story of Arab Spring, too, across Arab
that's
and
right.
North African world. That's happened.
Which, of course, puts great pressure on the Iranian regime, the Ayatollahs, you know, at the top, because at one point they had everybody. Now they don't.
Right.
It took a little bit of time, so they don't have them. It was a fascinating, Joe, if I can just disconnect for one second, there was a fascinating article in the New York Times this weekend in which they were talking about how people in Russia are supporting Putin. They're not saying get rid of Putin because he killed somebody or the rest of it. There's some large group. But for the most part, this nationalistic fervor, which has been worked up, is working.
That's right.
We'll talk, it's one of the articles, actually. We'll talk in a minute about about how we're—
Anti-American fervor in Russia.
Yeah. The sentiment, like 80% or something like that. Let's take a break. We remind you that you can join us, and we love your letters. roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. You can also go to our website, which is wamc.org/roundtable, and today's panel post is 3915. 3915. And also just a reminder for all of you who are having trouble, if you are having trouble, listening to us on the regular means while our engineering staff is working on some of the problems at two of our stations, you can always hear us online at WAMC.org as well. And the stream is up and working there. So WAMC.org. And you can also comment while you're doing it or go to roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable for this Monday, the 9th of March. And I was just listening to the BBC there, and they were talking about the Cricket World Cup. And I just thought to myself, you know that you are with an ill loved one when you hear about the Cricket World Cup, as I often do, or some cricket match on the BBC. And I've actually seen it on late night TV. So.
Really?
Yeah, I feel very up to date. By the way, also when I was out in the front office, they were saying that the deluge of phone calls had sort of waned as we explained what was going on with our system. So we thought maybe we would tell you again what's going on. If you're trying to listen to us on 90.9, which is in Kingston. But then also in Great Barrington, right?
105.1,
which is WAMQ, that we're having some issues with those, and they're dropping out, and they're at a lower power than normal, and they're dropping out. So the engineering, we're aware of it, just so you know.
Our cracked engineering staff is on it.
They're on it, and they're taking care of it. And I don't know within the sound of our voice if we can put something maybe up on the website that is being worked on, just so we can perhaps give the front office a break.
But I'm sure Ray Graff will take care of that.
Yeah, or put out a Facebook notice or something of the like.
Well, folks are hearing us. If the phone calls are stopped, the messages come.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but if you can hear us because we're down. Yeah.
Or if you've turned your radio off because you're going crazy, you might not hear it.
That's right. So we'll just let you know we're working on it, and thank you very much for your patience. And I know you'll be with us when we return, or at least we hope you are. Let's move on to other stories. And, you had some letters. Alan, you had some cool letters.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kay. Kay Moore, those letters about not hearing us. Tom says, follow the money. When he's talking about Iran. Okay. Follow the money. And Sarah says, more radio stuff. And, that's, my friend, is it. There's a lot of...
I thought you said you had a good one that you wanted. That you didn't necessarily...
Yeah, I did say something like that.
Yeah,
you did.
Blasting, I believe it was blasting Rosemary. So it, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it was. I'm glad you're encouraging
it
him.
Wasn't really blasting you. It was from Ryan. While I agree that America makes mistakes, I also disagree that we are, quote, not in a democratic country. We are in the national myth that Rosemary says we are. Countless people have died believing that our country was the best place to live in the entire world and that it was a place that offers freedom. We make mistakes, parenthesis, slavery, Japanese internment. But that doesn't mean the national myth is false, Rosemary. It just needs some tweaking.
Well, I wish that that were true. I love the hopefulness of that message. But you stop at internment, which was in 1945. You know, you neglect overthrowing governments in Latin America, invading Iraq under false pretenses. There's lots of things since. We have as cold-blooded and self-interested a foreign policy as any nation in the world. We just sugarcoat it with we're doing it for the good of mankind.
Well, somewhere between Ryan and you is Alan, I suppose. You know, I mean, I certainly believe that he acknowledges our mistakes, you know, in the past. But also, look, there's no question that big business controls a great deal of what this country does, you know, in the world.
Yep.
And that when, you know, we go to places where the oil is important to us and we don't go to places where thousands and maybe millions of people are being slaughtered. So that that contributes something to the myth also.
So, people look up to us all over the world. They look for us to come for help in Rwanda, another place I might mention. Like you said, we never went in and did what we might have there. And we don't. It is only when our business and national interest come together. And is that bad? Well, it's what every other country does. So I can't condemn the United States. But that's why I say it's a myth that we're there to defend right and freedom.
Well, on the other hand, look, if you said to people all over the world, where do you want to go?
They want to come here.
They want to come here. So that it's more than a myth. There is a...
Well, we've got a strong brand.
We have a brand, but also we have an amount of freedom that is unknown in many other countries in this world, and a possibility in an economic system that we have, whether we like it or not, to make money and to do well, and to put your kids in the Bronx High School of Science.
Very nice, Alan. I think you've bought into the myth, and we're going to talk about a story today that shows how that's changing. Right now, people migrate out of the United States back into Mexico far more than they did. They're not coming into this country. And we're going to talk about Russia, where we're not in such, you know, people are not aspiring to come here. And they're not even going to drink Coke or wear jeans anymore as part of a nationalistic campaign against the United States. So other people see us differently than we see ourselves.
You certainly make a point in the dialectic, but go ahead, Libby.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I'm getting to the point where I wouldn't want to live outside of New York State.
You have a really good point. As bad as things are, and I like pointing it out, as an as a woman in this day and age, where else would you want to live? Possibly Western Europe, but
As a lesbian, as a Jew, you know, I wouldn't
want to
be anywhere. Yeah, I have to stay in New York.
Don't
it's move. Really clear.
We'll take care of you.
Right,
we want you
I
here.
I appreciate it. But, you know, I mean, it's scary. It's a scary thought, you know, when you go to Europe and... I read over the weekend there's, you know, anti-Semitism is in rise all over Europe and now in Britain. And homophobia, you know, as much as, you know, I think that, women's rights are taken care of, right?
Right.
And so,
because
women.
Post-gender society.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so women are rising to all these great heights. So, you know, so women aren't going to be raped anymore, which we all know isn't true. Sexual violence is like the norm. And the same thing like, oh, well, the gays, they can marry now and, you know, they've got all these rights and blah, blah, blah. We're still victims of violence. We're still victims of discrimination. And, you know, there are still plenty of people who hate us. Just look at Alabama. So, you know, I'll stay here. That's all. I'll stay here. And I know this country doesn't always lived up to its brand, but it's a better place to be than anywhere else. And I will defend this country, and I love this country. But it's got to be a true democratic country.
Okay, well, that's dangerous, too. You can love the country and criticize it.
Sure,
and
I do.
Category.
Which is
that's
one of the great
duty.
Things about
that
country.
Right, that's, you know, you can do that here for the most part, yeah. You know. I'm sure that there are people who have been shut down from some incredibly, you know, heinous criticism. And mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that that's happened. But rank and file folks like you and me, and look, we do have a relatively free media, although it is owned by a few corporations.
It's corporate. And,
you know,
and
the media monopoly is definitely there.
And NSA is listening in on us because of this criticism. And yeah, there's scary stuff going on.
But, all right.
Okay, I'm done ranting now.
Okay. Let's go on then to other things, other stories. And we welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. So the story that Rosemary just alluded to, let me talk to you about this. Russia's anti-American fever goes beyond the Soviet eras. Thought the Soviet Union was anti-American, try today's Russia. After a year in which furious rhetoric has been pumped across Russian airwaves, anger toward the United States is at its worst since opinion polls began tracking it. From ordinary street vendors all the way up to the Kremlin, a wave of anti-U.S. bile has swept the country, surpassing any time since the Stalin era, observers say, reading from an article in today's Washington Post.
The Washington Post.
The indignation peaked after the assassination of Kremlin critic Boris Nemtsov, as conspiracy theories started to swirl just a few hours after he was killed that his death was a CIA plot to discredit Russia. On Sunday, Russia charged two men from Chechnya and detained three others in connection with the killing.
Rosemary, I'm so sorry. Libby, you had a sort of frustrated look on your face as Joe was reading those lines. You know, about it
say,
was our, that our it, CIA
That's so
did.
Absurd. It's so counterintuitive and counterproductive. We want voices of freedom over there to be speaking. And why would we kill him? It's sort of like Madam Secretary last night. Oh, we're going to kill him so to foment this disruption that will ultimately bring down Putin. Well, Putin's too strong for that. You know, well, you need these folks.
And he's strong for a reason.
Right. And, you know, they're just trying to make it, this is their PR, their spin, just to continue to demonize the United States in this situation.
But, to me, the idea is that they're buying into it, that the people are buying into
yes,
it.
Yes, they are.
So that.
Because they're not hearing anything else.
Well, look, you know, after Japan, why did Japan invade, you know, the United States, Pearl Harbor, do that? It did it because there were bad actors. They were getting into trouble. We cut off their, we stopped sending them the Third Avenue L or whatever else we were sending them and rubber and giving them access. And as a result of that, we get Pearl Harbor. That's what you have to worry about here. Putin is being positively rewarded for playing to the old Soviet, now Russian myth of a country that needs to be rejuvenated. And people like that. People there like that. They think their country has been dissed. And they want to get this thing done.
Look, the Russians are no different than the Americans. They have the national myth that they're buying into, which is that we're strong mm-hmm. and powerful and a player. So, yes, they are susceptible to that. They also have been the subject of a very smart, well-financed, clever, plotted campaign of propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Right out of the Stalinist regime,
absolutely.
By the way.
Out of World War II Germany, actually, is where it gets
no,
its roots.
right out of the way. This guy is an ex-Soviet. Yes, yes. That's what he is. And he's brilliant, and he knows it. And he'd rather be in power than not in power, and he does some very irresponsible things. Mm-hmm.
Well, the propaganda techniques that the Soviets used did come from the Germans, or they both used them at the same time, and you can see them in Putin. He has isolated his people from other voices. Mm-hmm. You don't listen to Voice of America now. Right. You can't get it. You are shot down or put into jail, as Pussy Riot was, if you protest or disagree. It's really easy to listen to his message. Now.
Yeah.
It's the only one out there.
It's the only one out there.
Yeah. I don't believe that people in other countries do not like Americans. They have long experience with what I think we have too, which is we are different than our government. The people can be good. The government can do bad things that you disagree with. But when they have no contact with Americans or a decreasing amount, artists don't go there. School mm-hmm. exchanges have mm-hmm. been cut down. We should be really forcing this. I wish that after 1989, when the wall came down, that we began a Marshall Program in the Soviet Union and the former states of the Soviet Union. Things would be so different now. We just really kind of accepted that. We won, so everything
right.
will now.
Now everything's going to be great because everyone loves democracy, loves America. They're just going to emulate us.
Well, and in wow. fact, they did in after the wall came down. And everyone adopted. Russia was a good example. Adopted capitalism and democracy and thought everything will be hunky-dory mm-hmm. now. And, of course, it was not.
That's not the case.
And so many began longing again for the Soviet days. So again, they're susceptible to the message of Putin.
So, in terms of people have been writing and asking you to define the American myth, but once you get into definitions, it gets a little hard. But I was thinking that we heard from Roger, who said, "Would you please discuss Obama's Selma speech?"
Oh, fabulous!
Now, that
wow.
is that
Wonderful.
Goes right into the
yes.
American
it does.
Mythology.
It does.
You know, in the beginning, he's president of the United States. He said, "We're into a post-racial time." We weren't. And there is this huge divide between blacks and whites in this country, and we see it in our criminal justice system, and we see it in so many other places. So I tell you, I literally got wet around the eyes, which
was,
is not hard for me to do.
It was a great speech.
Yeah. It was one of his best speeches.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was great.
For hours beforehand, all yeah. the commentators are saying, he's got to knock it out of the ballpark. This is for the ages. And I go, oh, my God, he's never going to be able to live up to this.
Right.
And I thought he did. Yeah, I thought he did a great.
And holding his daughter's hand. Yeah. John Lewis on one side,
hand,
the
right.
daughter on the other side.
It's awesome.
It's extraordinary.
It was great. And you know, the sound bites that you could take away from that speech will guide, I think, our progressive politics and our desire to get into that post-racial America, which I think is long coming for a very long time to come. And, you know, he really is a true leader. And, you know, so when I was watching on MSNBC, they were saying, you know, he's an academic, he's in his own head, he can't really, you know, get people riled up. Well, he got people riled up.
Okay. I like the speech, Larry, but I'm not so willing to say that one great, amazing speech makes a great leader. It was. But both
think,
of those,
well,
but that
I'm
does
sorry,
that.
I think he is a great leader. And that's where
I know
you
and tell
I
us that all
agree
the time.
To disagree, but, you know.
Right.
Right. I do think.
I wish you were a better leader.
Well,
I'm glad he's there. I'm glad that we have a black president. I'm glad that 50 years, a sacrifice of 50 years ago at Selma, came to this.
And I'm
that's
glad
real
he
important.
Didn't,
but
I'm glad he didn't punk out on it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
the easy thing to do is say this will just aggravate things. We right. don't want to do that. But he didn't do that. And you know, for Michelle and for his daughters and for his people that you know are depending on him to make change, he's done that.
But what I find so astounding is pre-2008, if the 50th anniversary had happened in 2004 or some other year, but before he was elected, you would have had all the Republican leadership at that there.
I liked it that he had George W. Bush.
Yes,
yeah, that was classy.
Was great. But where was the other Republican leadership? Where was Mitch McConnell? Where was John Boehner? This just showed their true colors regarding race and the divisions that they're trying to create in this country. You know, 10, 15 years ago, they all would have been there because it would have been political suicide not to be.
And the Voting Rights Act. Let's remember that this is probably the most important thing that mm-hmm. Lyndon Johnson did. He did Medicare, he did Medicaid, but he did the Voting Rights
That's
Act
right.
and at great risk to himself, which he knew, you know, at the time. And these people have taken that away. They've
yeah.
decapitated
That's right.
it. It's awful.
Yeah. Eric Holder the next day also made a similar
yeah,
speech
see,
calling
great.
For that. He was also very good.
Let's talk about that when we come back. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.